It's Curious City,
where we take your questions
about Chicago and the region
and investigate,
report,
explore
from WBEZ.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen. Today, we think of the lake as a place to hang out and relax. But decades ago, as Chicago developed into a major Midwestern metropolis, the water was busy with commercial maritime traffic. Lighthouses in the area represent that past. For this week's story, reporter Katie Reardon takes us to the lake.
Dawn Terrace is leading the way up a winding spiral cast iron staircase.
The top of the tower is 113 feet. I think
he's the longtime caretaker of the Grosse Pointe Lighthouse in Evanston.
What we're looking at right now is a device, clockwork mechanism, that controlled the flash of the light tower.
Now automated, the 153-year-old structure still functions as a private aid to navigation. It also gives sweeping views of Lake Michigan and the sandy Lighthouse Beach below, a popular spot that question asker Allison Levy and her family frequent. It got them wondering about other lighthouses along Chicago's lakefront.
Are any of them still in use in the traditional sense? And if not, what else are lighthouses used for these days?
Let's start with the origins of these lighthouses. Terrace says, it's hard to picture today, but in the latter half of the 19th century, the area's lakefront teemed with commercial maritime traffic.
During many years in the 1800s, Chicago surpassed New York, San Francisco, New Orleans, all the major seaports in arrivals and departures.
And lighthouses were essential to help all these ships and schooners navigate.
Each lighthouse had a particular characteristic or flash.
To safely guide mariners to places such as ports, or in the case of Grosse Pointe, to also warn of hazards like shallow waters or shoals. It was a lighthouse keeper's job to sustain reliable illumination. 88-year-old Wayne Barton of Park Ridge is among the last generations to carry out the task.
We were known as Wickies, the lighthouse tender.
A nickname given because in the early days, keepers had to continuously trim the wick of oil lamps. But Barton's not that old. By the time the Coast Guard posted him briefly at the Chicago Harbor Lighthouse in the late 1950s, it was more a flick of the switch. It had long been electrified. Still, he says the shared duties were constant: light maintenance, weather monitoring, and night shifts.
You had always had a routine. If you weren't fixing this, you were checking that.
Barton also worked on a lighthouse in Lake Erie. He never foresaw the profession becoming obsolete.
It was a job you couldn't say, well, somebody else will do it, or it's not that important.
But by the late 1960s and 70s, automation largely spread nationwide, says Jeff Gales with the nonprofit U.S. Lighthouse Society.
For a very long time, the Coast Guard was lessening the role of human beings at lighthouses because modern technology was taking over, and, you know, they don't want to waste money.
Advances in navigational tools like GPS further shifted the landscape. As stations became unmanned, physical conditions often deteriorated, and some were decommissioned. Still, in many cases, Gale says, the Coast Guard has maintained the actual light signals for safety.
Having a tangible, visible, physical lighthouse that you can reference is still very important.
For example, what remains of the Waukegan Harbor Lighthouse, just north of Chicago, is simply a 35-foot, unadorned cast iron cylinder that flashes green. And then there's Chicago's most notable lighthouse, the one where Wayne Barton once worked. You've probably walked by it. It's hiding in plain sight.
So we're at the end of Navy Pier, on the furthest east point of Navy Pier.
Kurt Lench is pointing out about a half mile into Lake Michigan.
And you'll see the break wall and the Chicago Harbor Lighthouse, which is in its current location since 1917. It was originally built in 1893, just north of its location.
Lench has the group Friends of the Chicago Harbor Lighthouse, which is working to restore the site. It could really use, shall we say, a glow up?
Our biggest concern is that no one knows why it's there or what it's there for. It's been in the background of our memories for our generation.
The Coast Guard automated the light in 1979. And it still marks the harbor's entrance. But it's pretty dilapidated, rusting, crumbling, and gutted. Lench's nonprofit is in the process of taking the property over from the city to rehabilitate it into a public museum, similar to Grosse Pointe, a tourist attraction with a major focus on local education.
The goal is to turn the museum into a classroom on the lakefront, to really teach kids programming out at the light. From a lighthouse perspective, from engineering to weather to water sampling.
It's an estimated $6 million project. So if outdated structures like these aren't technically necessary anymore, and it's not easy to raise so much money, why are preservationists working so hard to save them? Lench says too much of Chicago's history would be lost if beacons like this just fade away.
It's such an iconic part of the skyline. It's been there before most of those buildings were there.
Former lighthouse keeper Wayne Barton agrees. He's eager to see it brought back to life.
There's only a handful of people that ever been on a lighthouse, let alone work it. But it was special.
The end of an era, one that he hopes future generations will appreciate.
Thanks to Katie Reardon for reporting this week's story. We often think of Lake Michigan as a place for recreation. So it might come as a surprise that there are several shipwrecks sitting at the bottom. Next episode, we'll explore the deadliest wreck in Lake Michigan history and the impact it had on maritime safety. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening.